Well, let's open up our Bibles to Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter number 14. You find that place if you're able to. Let's stand together. Luke chapter number 14. And we appreciate the Lord. Appreciate the help of the Lord. I'm telling you, it's already been good for me to be in the house of God tonight. And I just like walking in the doors. It makes me happy just to walk in the doors. And I couldn't be carried in, but thank God I walked in, and I'm glad for that. And if I was to be carried in, he'd still be God, wouldn't he? Amen. And still be just as good. I thank the Lord for it. Luke 14, I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. You pray for us this evening. Lord, help us. And we'll try to do the best we can, try to mind the Lord. Bible said in verse 1, it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And the Bible said, and Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? They held their peace, and he took him and healed him, and he let him go. Answered and saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox shall fall into a pit, will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And verse 6 says, and they could not answer him again to these things. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight again. God, what a blessing it is to get to be in the house of God. And Father, I pray for a few minutes of time that, Lord, you'd help me. I pray, God, that you would, Lord, you would just calm my nerves just a little bit. And God, I pray that you'd focus my heart. Let my heart and mind be fixed on Christ. Father, I pray tonight that, Lord, you'd help us. And God, as we attempt to do the best we can, God, to get into the text that you've laid on our heart. And I pray, God, you'd speak to Amazing Grace Baptist Church tonight. Father God, I pray this will not help, Lord, the church down the road, but it'll help us. And God, I pray, Father, tonight, Lord, that you'd encourage those discouraged. I pray, God, that you'd stir up those that have settled down. And God, I pray for those that are lost and cold. And Lord, lost and don't know you in a free pardon to see it. And may tonight be the night that they call on the name of Christ and be saved. And Father, we love you tonight. And thank you for all you've done. Ask you one more time, oh God, that you'd help us in this church. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I was reading this the other day, and I've shared it with one or two folks. But it's one fellow, they was writing in a book, and they asked this fellow, they said, what is the anointing and the unction of God? He said, well, I can't tell you just what it is. He said, but I can tell you what it's not. He said, sometimes it's not there when you think that it is. And he said, and sometimes it is there when you think it's not. He said, one thing's for sure, whenever God's unction's moving, their hearts and lives are changed forever. And then he ended this thing up. At the end of that, this is how he recorded it. He said, my greatest fear anytime I step into the pulpit is to have an open Bible and an empty heart. And I thought, may God help us not ever stand in a pulpit and have an open Bible, but have an empty heart. And so if you'll pray tonight, I'll give you what I feel like the Lord have for us. In Luke chapter number 14, what you find is that the Lord Jesus Christ has entered into a Pharisee's house, and he's getting ready just to sit down and eat some supper. Oh, listen, these must have been about three-quarter Baptists, because the Bible said they only had him there just so they could watch him. Amen. He wasn't interested in serving it. He wasn't interested in worshiping him. He's just simply interested in watching him. Amen. Oh, listen, how many times in the house of God we walk in with no
interest in worshiping God, had no interest in hearing from heaven, had just showed up, had just to watch and see what happened. And my friend, he sits down and he gets ready to have this meal. And as he sits and he eats this meal, and you just gotta, you just have to stay with me tonight. I thought this very interesting, and that as the Lord sits down, I don't know if I'll ever get there tonight, but I'm gonna try. Hey, listen, the Lord's a helping man. I want you to listen to me, friend. He sits down at this meal, and while he's sitting and eating the meal, he gets to telling a parable about three different meals. I thought, what a savior. Now listen, you gotta peek in your mind. How if this place is gathered up, and no doubt it's pretty full, and as they sit down to eat a meal that night, and the Lord uses what's right in front of them, and to start speaking to their heart. And I thought, thank God. Thank God. Listen, friend, if God will help us tonight, I'd like to preach on this song. And it's time for a little table talk. Amen. And just time for a little table talk. Everything he's going to say, it's going to revolve around this table. I want you to watch this. And please pay attention. And verse number 7, he gives the first parable. I don't know that I'll ever get to read all of it. How about I want you to watch this? He said in verse number 7, he put forth a parable. Verse 8, it said, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, he said, sit not down in the highest room. He said, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. He that bade him and come and say, how do thee give this man place? And thou begin with shame, how to take to the lowest room. He said, when you bid it, he said, go sit down in the lowest room. Thank God, when he that bade thee come, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Thou shalt have worship in the presence of him that sat at me. Oh, listen, friend, let me say this to you. And the first thing I want to preach on is there's room down here. And I want you to listen to me. Here's how this, you know, you got to stay with me right here. That's just sort of how this word. You understand, they didn't sit down at a table and sat down with an old oak chairs or whatever the case may be. But when you walked in the house, typically they'd have a table of honor. That would be a round table. And everybody'd recline on that thing, Cameron. And when they'd recline, there'd be somebody sitting on the right hand of them and reclined on the left hand. That was considered the chief seat. Oh, that's where the best friends and the best friends of the master of the house sat. But then there was, there'd be a couple of other tables and a way off back there in the back tie. And whoever sat down a tear, he wasn't considered like as worth much. I mean, their life wasn't, they didn't have good social status. They wasn't very important as far as they was concerned. And so what happened, Brother Bill? I thank God every time they'd have a meal, everybody jockey for position and try to get in there and they try to get real high. And the Lord, now do you understand? All this is happening and the Lord's standing there watching every bit of it. And the Lord's a-watching over. He's a-watching everybody. I try to get real high. And this is what I want you to understand. At our church, at Amazing Grace Baptist Church, boy, there's room down here if you want to get low. Amen. Oh, listen, we got so many folk. I'm not talking about just in our church, but in society in general. I mean, they're so high, friend. They can't never get no help from the Lord. I mean, everything's so right in their life. I mean, they know so much. They've seen so much that they can't never get no help from God. But I'll tell you this, and I want you to hear me. There's not one good place in this Bible that ever talks about pride and a good sin. But I'll tell you what it does say. It says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. In Proverbs 6, it says these things, six things the Lord doth hate. And yea, seven are an abomination of him. And he said, a proud look. And 2 Timothy 3:1, he said, this know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. Amen. Oh, listen, in our generation today, we're so proud. Oh, listen, y'all know that's right. I mean, we're so proud. I'm fellow with talking the other day. I'm talking about what's going to take for folks to get help. But I'll tell you this, there is a promise. And it's over in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. He said, which of my people that shall call by my name. He said, what's that first step right there? And what's the first step? I don't never get past the first one. I don't run and start confessing. But the very first thing, that my people which shall call by my name, I shall humble themselves. Oh, listen, friend. I mean, if we ever get any help from God, we'll have to get low. Amen. Now, listen to me. I want you to hear me. I mean, what a blessing it is. I hope everybody here now look at me. I hope everybody here grab hold of this. If you ever get to that place where you see how low and wretched you really are, you're talking about helping your worship. Amen. You're talking about helping praying and helping Bible reading and coming in the house of God and not needing nobody to do nothing else. It just gets to helping you. Amen. And now that's a growing process. I understand that. I got to thinking about y'all know. Amen. Praise God. Y'all understand. And then, oh, the Apostle Paul, he started way up here. Y'all remember that? Amen. I mean, Paul, he started way up here. In Galatians 1:14, he said that he had exceeded above many of his equals. In other words, he's saying, whenever you compare me to everybody else, he said, man, I was way up here until he got saved. Amen. And boy, when he got saved, he just started going down, didn't he? Amen. And now you grab a hold of this. He probably wasn't somebody that had better notoriety than the Apostle Paul. And he started going down. I like it when he does too. Amen. At 1 Corinthians 15:9, and the Bible said that he is the least of the apostles. Boy, I like that. I'm not going to tell you nothing new tonight, but I am going to run by some good things. Amen. He said, thank God that he's the least of the apostles. He said, you compare all of them. Oh, Andrew and Bartholomew, and you know them ones you don't even know their name, like Thaddeus and some of them. Have some of that crowd that I can't nobody even tell you what they done. Have the Apostle Paul said, when you consider them, he said, I am less. I am the least of the apostles. And then Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 8. Hey, thank God he said, hey. He said that he is less than the least, amen, of all the saints. Boy, I like that real good too, don't you? He said, you go find the sorriest saint out there, whoever that is. He said, I'm less than the least of them. 1 Timothy 1:15, that said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'll tell you what he done. He started way up here, and he started heading way down there. And here's what I found. And the further down he got, and the more the Lord helped him. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, friend, there's room down there if you'll just cut. Everybody's trying to be somebody. Everybody's trying to make a name for themselves, even in the Christian world, even in independent Baptist churches. Everybody's standing around, and they're trying to make things happen for their own self, and they never let God have any say-so in nothing. I'll tell you what, do. And just get down low and let God do what God does. Amen. I was thinking about this. I don't know if I've ever told you this. And to be honest with you, I got a lot of liberty. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't even think I would tell you this. But I'm going to tell it to you anyway tonight. All right. And this won't even mean nothing to probably at least 3/4 of you, but it'll mean something to some of you. Hey, there's a time that my wife sitting back there. I'd been filling in at a church for a pretty good spell. And we'd been praying about whether or not the Lord wanted us to be there. And I never did have no liberty to go there. Never did. I mean, I enjoyed preaching. I enjoyed the people. I just never did have no liberty. And Brother Harold had, Brother Harold had stepped down. And I'd had these calls, and there's about 4 of them. And then Brother Joshua, they had said, I'm sure that the Lord wants me to be the pastor. And then this other fella, he said, I'll tell you this. He said, I don't know who it is, but I think I'm looking at the fella. And all I can tell you is this. Brother Bill, the Lord is my witness. I went down, I was praying while I was filling another church. Hadn't been at this church in probably 2 years. And I got down praying, and the Holy Ghost of God, I got to speaking in my heart. And he said, you're going to be there. And then I listened. I never made the first phone call. I didn't, Brother Wayne was taking care of church. I never called Brother Wayne. I didn't have to jockey for position. I didn't call none of that. All I did is just trust what the Lord said. Amen. And I just stayed back. And for those of you who were there that night, Brother Wayne called me that night and said, "Won't you come preach for us?" I canceled some other church, so I come to this church. Amen. I walked in there. I got in the car that day with my wife. Had tears coming out of my eyes. I said, "Honey, if they ask me to pastor today, I'm taking it today." And listen, came and preached. And you know what everybody did? Y'all remember this part? You know what everybody did? They didn't even ask me to come back. Amen. Oh, boy, that was a blessing. I thought, I missed the will of God. Amen. But no, listen, I told y'all that to tell you this. Friend, I didn't have to get high. I didn't have to go through man's channels. Listen, Brother AJ, some of our preachers, Brother Matt, Brother Wayne, Brother Ken, listen, the Lord's not lost your number, Brother Jesse. You ain't got to run in circles. That's the way the folks preach today. I get in circles, and they say, "You preach for me, and I'll preach for you." Well, what about, thank God, just getting on our face before God and just asking God to send us, amen, and asking God to help us? I believe He would, thank God, if we just go back to asking Him about it, amen. Oh, yes. There's room down here. Now, there's not many folks want to get down here. You know, down the sackcloth and ashes. I mean, there's not many folks that... I told somebody, they said, "Listen, I'd go pray, but I don't want people to think that I got problems." Amen. Well, listen, let me help you right here. I know you got problems. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Ain't that right? I don't got to think about it. I know you got them. Say, "How you know you got them?" Because I got them. Amen. And everybody else has got them. The Bible said we would. Another thing I can't figure out is if we all got them, well, we're all acting like we're so high when there's plenty of room down there. Amen. Plenty of room. Listen, the Lord's standing back here, and I don't know who was in my mind. The Lord's standing over here at this lowest table, and He's seeing everybody over there at that highest table. And everybody trying to get to be friends with the master of the house. How about the master of the universe is sitting over here at the lowest table, and ain't nobody with Him. Amen. Hey, all trying to get somewhere else. I'll tell you where I'd like to be at. Just like to be wherever He's at. Wouldn't you like to be? Thank God. How bad, Trent? Thank God. Think it'd be in our best interest just to get low where there's room at. Amen. Oh, listen, I want you to see this. We find just a little table talk. First thing He tells them is there's room down low for those that want to get humble. But then I want you to watch what the Bible says next here. And verse number 12, I like this one too. He said, then He said, He also to them that bade Him, He said, "When thou makest a dinner," He said, "or a supper," He said, "call not thy friend," He said, "or thy brethren," He said, "neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbors, lest thou also bid thee again, and a recompense be made." He said, "But when thou makest a feast," He said, "call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." Amen. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what He's doing here. He's just standing over here in this room, and He gets to looking out, and as he looks out the whole room. Now listen, you hear me today. I'm telling you, the Lord was helping me study this. I want you to get this. As He's looking out over the whole room, He said, "I ain't found not one blind, not one maimed. Ain't nobody here that's lame. Everybody, ain't nobody here poor." In other words, why ain't there nobody here that really needs some help? Amen. I'm afraid in the church of God today, the only place and the only people we want to witness to is folks that already look like us. Amen. Oh, but listen to me, friend. I mean, listen, if you see a bumper sticker that says John 3:7, you'll wave out and say, "Hey, you go to church somewhere." You already know they go to church somewhere. Amen. That's not where you find them. Thank God you want them to find somebody God's trying to help. You're going to have to leave the the church and go after them. Amen. Oh, listen to me, friend. I thought about a few things here. And now, listen, don't get nobody to get up. I don't nobody get too upset with me tonight. All right. How about I want you to watch right here? He lists off four things, Nate. He said, don't go to your rich neighbors. He said, your kinsmen, your brethren, all them. He said, that's all you've got. That's four things. I thought them folks right there is a lot like we are. If it's our foreign no more, we ain't inviting nobody. We ain't inviting nobody outside of our family, outside of our next door neighbor, or outside of somebody we think it'll benefit us. Amen. How about, what about those, listen to me, what about those folks down in the projects? That, I thank God when you walk in, I get thinking about some of the places we've been to visit. Hey, Brother Mike, we went and visited a fella one time, and honest before the Lord, Brother Nathaniel, he'll attest to this. How best of my memory, we opened the door, and they must have been 10 dogs on the outside, and they had to be 20 more come running out the house, wasn't they? I don't know how many, but there's a bunch of them, wasn't they? That old poor old fella didn't have no heat. I mean, standing there in the cold of winter and just had on just coveralls. I didn't have no heat coming out of his fire. And just damn, been drinking no doubt all day. And look here, he's in rough shape, Brother Jordan. And the only thing I could think of is what kind of a difference the Lord would make in his life if he just get a hold of him. Amen. I mean, listen, what kind of, praise God. Some of y'all done forgot where God found you. Amen. How about if you'd remember where God found you? I remember the shape you was in. How when God reached down and picked you up out of that horrible pit, it helped you. Amen. It helped you. Oh, listen, we've gotten so high. I'm telling you, there's room. Look here. Hey, it's not just room down here. I'm telling you, there's room out here. Amen. I thank God for having the full church. I praise the Lord for it. I'm glad to get a preach to people. Amen. But I'm telling you, last time I checked, at Luke 10:2, still in the Bible, I pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest. He said, the harvest truly is plenteous. Oh, listen, it's great. But the laborers are few. Amen. Oh, listen, there's room out here. Hey, these folks, they ask me, and I ain't thinking nobody in my mind right now, so if you've asked me that, and you just let the devil be the devil, tell him he's a liar. I've got a clean heart between me and the Lord. I'm telling you, these people ask me sometimes, I'll say, Brother Kevin, what can I do? What can I do? I don't know what you mean by that, but I can tell you this. These folks all across this area, it's just waiting for somebody to take his light right here and go to where they're at and say, let me tell you about a man named Jesus. There's room out there, amen, if you want to work. Ain't that right? Oh, listen. He looks around. He gets looking around the room. And he said, where's, wait just a minute. And, hey, now listen, I mean, this has been bothering me. This is, I'm talking about it bothering me. And it may not do nothing for you. But the Lord, inside this master's house, Brother Jesse, and he gets to looking around. And he said, now wait a second. Everybody in here is Pharisees. There's a Pharisee right there. There's a Pharisee right there. But where's all the sinners? Where are they at? You know what the church got in the habit of doing? We got in the habit of just sitting back and waiting on the sinners to come to the house of God. We'll sit around and we'll say, well, they know where the church is at, thank God. Hey, listen, I know where the Civic Coliseum's at, but I ain't going to listen to AC/DC, amen. Y'all listen to me, thank God. And you say, why? That's not my crowd, amen. That's not where I'm going. Amen, thank God. I mean, you understand. And for the by and large, for folks that are lost, when they come in here, we're singing songs they ain't never heard. How about a man that they don't know? And we're reading out of a Bible they've never seen. And they're listening to preaching that they're thinking, I don't know what that is, amen. But I'm telling you, listen, I'll tell you what'll make the difference. If they'll sit under it and be around it long enough, have the sweet Holy Ghost of God come passing by their way, and before very long, they'll know the master of the house, and they'll know Amazing Grace, and they'll love the King James Bible, and they'll enjoy preaching, amen. And God will change them, amen. God will change them. Don't you think that's right? Ain't that right, Ty? Amen. Oh, listen, God, you know, I'll tell you what, it's how the Lord put in my heart. Bill, praise God, I might preach to you for a minute. Amen. Me and you having a pretty good time over here. I'll tell you what I got thinking about. I got thinking about, you know why they don't go after that crowd? He said, why ain't you after the halt and the maimed and the blind? Why ain't you going after them? I'll tell you why they ain't going after them. That requires work. Oh, amen. Look up here at me. That requires work. I thought about the first group there, that poor. Man, I got to reading this and I couldn't hardly. I mean, sometimes I'll read some things and, you know, Tyler, sometimes I read some things and I just dump it. Heaven, sometimes I'll think that ain't no count. Every now and then I get a hold of a little nugget that some old man of God showed him. Brother Nathaniel, I got to reading about the poor and Cliff. It's what it said. It said, and I don't speak Greek and I don't know a stitch of it, Kyle. This is what it said about that poor. It said the word that they used to describe him is somebody who would sit down in a corner, cover his face the other way, and hold out a cup in the other direction because of the shame that he had. Said the fellow that he's talking about being poor there don't feel like he's worthy enough to be invited to anything. I thought, my. Only thing I could think about is Peter and John. Amen. That's silver and gold. Have I done? Woo! Praise God! Praise God! That fella got more than he bargained for, didn't he? He said, silver and gold have I none. How much such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hey, listen, if you want money, I can't help you there. How about I'm telling you, if you want riches, I can tell you how to get them. Amen. Hey, thank God. I mean, listen, friend. If you're going to go after the poor, you're going to have to comfort them. If you're going to go after the man, hey, listen to me. You're going to have to help them. If you're going after the lame, hey, you're going to have to carry them. If you're going after the blind, hey, you're going to have to guide them. I mean, there's a lot of work, but there's plenty of room, amen. Plenty of room. Well, ain't that a blessing? Smile at me on that one. Wouldn't it be a blessing? I hope God helps us one day. I hope we have to buy about three of them big yellow buses every night we go door knocking. Yeah. Open the door and 45 come a barreling out. Yeah. You don't think that'd make a difference? Oh, yeah. Huh? Don't reckon that'd change things a little bit? They'd listen, I mean, there's some houses, you know, you go, hey, some of them, it makes me happy. I'm telling you, I wish I could tell you. And there's some of them that, you know, when I say, and they're just waiting, you know, for us to go away. And that's all right. I don't do it as unto them. We do it as unto the Lord. You say, preacher, you reckon if we went out there that they didn't make a difference? Well, I'm going to tell you this. I don't know a lot, but I know a few things. Revelation 22:12 said when he comes, he said his reward's with him. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10. He says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your labor, your work and labor of love, which you show towards the name that you minister and do minister to the saints. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven and he's watching everyone. Listen, there's room down here for those that need to be humble. There's room out there for plenty of folks that need help. And then the last one here, watch what he said. Let me turn my Bible up. Here's the last thing he said in verse 15. He said, one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things. He said unto them, blessed is he that eateth bread in the kingdom of God. Verse 16, he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. He said, his servant at supper time had to say to them which were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Boy, that makes me happy. I mean, one of them true favorites, Kelsey, has said, all things are now ready. Not waiting on nothing else. It's already, amen. There's room down here for those that need to be humbled. There's room out there. Plenty of folks need help. And there's room in here for all those folks that need hope. You know why we come to the house of God? He goes down through there and you know the story. They all, with one consent, make excuse. They all head out. And he said, you go out in the streets. I'm glad he went to the streets. Praise God. I might just stand right there for a minute. One fellow asked me, says, there's something wrong with your mic. And I said, there ain't nothing ever wrong with my mic.
I just got a lot of nervous energy. I'm liable to run if I don't do something. There's room in here. There's room in here. Now I want you to listen to me. He gets this thing. This is how this is working. He's sitting over here. The Lord. Now I'm talking about the Lord. He's given three supper time illustrations. And he's standing where he's standing at. And he looks over and he says, you didn't make an excuse to be here. You didn't. You didn't. You didn't. You didn't. And all the way across that little room, no excuses were made. They all showed up at that man's dinner. And the Lord said, oh, there's a greater dinner than this. And he said, all things are now ready. Now, he's not just using idle words. In those days, this is how it went. Now, I want you to listen to me. I want you to hear me very carefully. This is how it worked. Said, there's always, to every great supper, there's two invitations. There's the first invitation that was given that gave you the date, but it never could let you know the time. You understand, they didn't have charcoal grills and things like that. They had to kill the fatted calf and all that. And so they'd say, there's a dinner coming, and you're invited. That's pretty good, ain't it? You don't know when it's coming. Say, but when it's ready. Praise God. Praise God. Say, but when it's ready.
Yes.
He said, I'm coming back. He said, we'll come get you right there. I'm going to let you know. And I'll tell you, there's two things I want you to know. Number one, boy, that first invitation came out by Moses and the prophets.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, get ready. He said, he's a coming. Amen. Hey, listen, thank God today's the one coming after us. He said, the Messiah's on his way. And every prophet that came after him had just gave more revelation that he was coming. But now all of a sudden, Preacher Savage, he's standing right there. And he said, hey, it's now ready. Amen. In other words, the second invitation was there. It was time. Had to forget everything else and go after God. Amen. And you know what they did? They started making excuses. All kinds of them. You find a businessman's excuse. Got too much money. You find the working man's excuse. He said, I got five yoke of ox. I got to go prove them. You got the family man's excuse. You know, how come I can't go to the church and get right with God? Hey, said, my wife and my family want to do other things. Sunday's a lake day. Let me go ahead and preach on lake day before lake days get there. Praise God. Got a little quiet right there.
Preach, brother.
Said, well, I would go after God, but you know, my family's, we're too busy doing other things else. I read this trend. This made me real happy. It said the other day, the thing I was reading said that when Queen Elizabeth II was coronated, they crowned her. It said she sent out invitations. And it said, Teresa, at the bottom of it, this is what it said. Boy, I'm telling you. At the bottom of it, it said, all excuses ceasing. This is what I read. It said, when a royal invitation is given, it's not an invitation, it's a command. And anybody that makes an excuse and refuses the command is counted as a rebel. I don't know if you know it or not, but the invitation that's been given, all excuses ceasing. That means when you stand before God, if you ain't never got in, this is what the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 2. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It says in another place, thou art inexcusable, O man. Here'd be a question tonight. They some people that do not have the knowledge of God. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible teaches us, I mean, that there come a time who will have every man to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Some people are innocent. They do not know how holy God is, how sinful they are. They don't understand heaven and hell. They don't understand the wrath of God. They don't understand the salvation of Christ. And listen, they're innocent. But there's some tonight, under the sound of my voice, that the invitation has been given. You say, preacher, I'm waiting on... I'll tell you what you ought to wait on. You ought to wait on this invitation right here that come out of this Bible.
Right.
Said, come, let us reason together.
Yeah.
Come. Though sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, let him come. Revelation 22, the bride and the spirit say, come. All excuses ceasing. There's room in here. Now when you stand before God, what are you going to say? You can come up with whatever excuse you want, but there's folks tonight that there's room. The Lord's standing there and he said, all of you have showed up to this big dinner. And he said, but the greatest feast to ever be made still lies ahead. Revelation chapter 19. Marriage supper of the Lamb. Invitation comes one by one. No group discounts. No family plans. I got enough to get in for Kevin. Not enough for Kevin, Allison, Davis, Evan, or Owen. Praise God. Got enough for Jerry and Kevin. Didn't get enough for Kevin and Alyssa. Didn't get enough for Kevin and Eli. But I thank God I got enough for Kevin. Here's the good news. If you're in that place where you do not know the Lord, there's plenty of room for you. Amen. Plenty of room, thank God. If you want to get in, want to be washed by the blood of the Lamb, have your sins forgiven, you can. There's room. Let me ask you this. What's your excuse going to be? You're standing here tonight, sitting under the gospel, hearing the message. The Lord's going to come back. There's going to be some that say, I was going to wait for this and I was going to wait for that. And all those times. And that's exactly right. They're going to wait exactly 1 second too late. And hell's going to be their home. And when they wake up in hell, listen to me. You know what they're going to find out? I'm done preaching right here. You know what they're going to find out? No room in hell. You hear me? No room. They drop off one at a time. Hell enlarges itself. One per person. Matthew chapter number 7. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way. Is that what the Bible says? Leadeth to destruction. And many. That's a crowded way. Many. Straight is the gate. And narrows the way. It's a life eternal. And few there be that find it. I've cleared my heart. Let's stand to our feet. I'm asking you simply this. If you're too high and you need help, it's time to get humble. There's room for that. If you're sitting around and you're saved and you ain't doing nothing for the Lord, there's plenty of people that need help outside these walls. And if you're here tonight and do not know the Lord Jesus Christ and a free pardon of sin, why not make tonight that night you call upon the name of Christ and get saved? Donnie, come. Alyssa.